Good morning. My name is Leslie Keller, and I will be your conference operator for today. Participation in this conference call is strictly limited to invited participants. This call is exclusively for financial analysts and investors. If you are not an invited guest, please disconnect at this time. I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the report on economic activity, public finances, and public debt as of the second quarter of 2022. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a questions and answers session. If you would like to make a question during this time, please press star 8 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press star 8 again. I will now introduce you to the speakers. Rodrigo Mariscal Paredes, Chief Economist of the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, and Maria del Carmen Bonilla, Deputy Undersecretary for Public Credit at the Ministry of Finance and Public Credit, to proceed with their remarks. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for joining us for the conference call on the second the quarterly report on the second quarter of 2022. My name is Rodrigo. I will be giving you some pointers or highlights of the economic activity and the results of the public finances. And then after me, Mari Carmen is going to join to give also some remarks about the debt and the debt management results. So let me start with the downside risk that we face in the global outlook. Since the first quarter, we have seen a deterioration in the overall outlook, broadly in the world economy, but mostly on Europe. Although we are not very close linked with Europe regarding in terms of the commerce, we have some more linkages, especially in financial flows. So it's something that we will keep monitoring. But so far, we think this is a risk that is contained or at least is limited to some extent. Now, for the part of the U.S. Economy, we have seen also some revisions to the downside in terms of the growth. Basically GDP growth, although this is something that it's linked to the Mexican economy. The highest relationship with the U.S. economy is with industrial production. And for that part, as we have seen so far, is for some analysts and some results, at least we think this is going to be, the outlook has not deteriorated, and moreover, it has increased a little bit regarded to our estimate of the first that we did in the first quarter of March to project our medium range growth rate. Basically, the industrial production at the time was estimating a growth of 4.1%. Now it's about 5%, depending on the survey that you look into. But we still think that this is a source that will be giving us some support for the growth. Basically, we have not revised our growth estimates for the rest of the years. We think that we're going to be closing the year at 2.4%, but there are some risks regarding to the 2023 that we're still estimating how much. So far, there's a lot of volatility and uncertainty with regard to what's going to happen. But what we can say for now is that we will have to revise it downwards our estimate for the next year. In terms of the Mexican economy, I mean there are some indicators that we think they are showing some sort of resilience or strength. Basically, Friday we saw the figure of the first estimate of the first reading of the GDP. It came at 2.1% in quarterly terms, 2% in annual terms, which is it was perceived as a surprise for some analysts. But in our estimate that we did in March related to the medium range, I think they were close enough with our estimates. So in that regard, we also think that this is in line with our estimates, so we are not going to revise it based on on what I discussed before for the U.S. economy and with the results that we have seen so far for the Mexican economy. We also are in terms of the indicators, some domestic indicators are showing resilience. In particular, private consumption has been performing quite well, such as the labor market. I think that this is still going to be supporting growth, although we have seen some deceleration in some part of the consumption, basically some consumption regarded to the non-durables and some, let's say, supermarket and retail sales have been performing. They are decelerating, although they are still performing well. And again, this is something that we're going to be close watching for the rest of the year. And if we see some deterioration, we're going to be adjusting our estimates. Now, let me go to the inflation figures and what we have done so far and what we have measured in terms of the package that we have put forward. And basically, we still see the inflation measured by the CPI that INEGI does. We think that this is still an important shock to the economy. It's something that is weighing on the economy as well. But we think that there are some indications that the prices might be reaching its highest level, probably August or September. And for the rest of the year, we're probably going to see the inflation coming down. Although I don't want to say too much because everybody that has tried to forecast inflation this year have been failing massively. But just let me, on the side, let me share with you some figures that we have evaluated regarded not to the INEGI figures, but the Profeco figures, which is the ones that we closely follow to evaluate the inflation package that we set up in May. Basically, what we've been doing is tracking the 24 items that Profeco goes and do the service. This is a different survey with INEGI. These are non-comparable. We can discuss the difference later, but just to give you the heads up, this is not comparable between each other. But with that that index of that basket of the 24 items, we've seen a modest growth of a modest decrease relative to the week that the PASIC started, which is the 5th of May. But as of July, the first week of July, of course, we have seen 0.6% of lower in percentage terms relative to the week that the PASIC started. Now we have constructed some sort of contrafactual with these goods, and that contrafactual with the same period increasing 3.7, meaning we estimate, and I'm gonna underline estimate in that sentence, that if we have not done anything related to the PASIC or the PAC, that basket would have increased 3.7% relative to the PASIC week. Now, in terms of the fuel subsidies, I think that we have shared it before. We estimate that the subsidies have curbed or have lowered the inflation by 2.6 percentage points. This is as of June. We think this is important, basically, for the income of the family because it's something that pretty weighs heavily on the family's income because and the energy prices and kind of snowball with other parts of the economy and tends to reduce the consumption of the family because it's something that families cannot adjust fully based on the elasticity of the demand of the substitution. And also, we estimate that if we have not done anything regarding to the fuel, at least the real wages would have fallen 11% in real terms, cumulative from January to June. Instead, they have actually grown by 0.8%. Now, let me finish my remarks with the public finances. In terms of the public finances, we have seen very good performance relative to the oil and tax revenues, of course, excluding the IEPS or the excise tax gasoline subsidy. And for that, we are practically 8.6 billion above the program, and the growth rate of that oil tax revenues, at least for the federal government, has been growing at 12%. Basically, we estimate that the elasticity with economic activity, it's I mean, in normal times, it's close to 1%, meaning that if the economy activity grows by 1, the tax revenues, excluding the excess tax, actually grows by 1%, so it's a 1 by 1. But in the first half of the year, the elasticity is about 6%. So just to give you an example of how well the tax revenues have performed. In terms of the oil revenues, again, for the federal part, we are 2.8 billion above the program, and they have grown about 38%. Now, these results, based on the contention or the expenditure that has quite been in line with the program, give us a better than expected primary and public finances balances. Basically, we are 10 billion above the program for the first half, and we estimate basically that we are going to be closing the year with a full compliance to the target that we set on the budget, which is 875 of deficit for a billion pesos. Now, in terms of the fuel subsidy, and I think that you probably going to have many questions. So, but what we can say is that the cost so far of the subsidy is about 2.8 billion. We estimate that this is, probably we have reached the peak of the cost based on what we have set for the excess tax rates, which we have been decreasing in line with what has happened with the oil prices. It's something that we still trying to estimate. There are many variables and there's a lot of volatility still in the market. So, but we are happy to talk with you about these issues. So now let me give the word to Mari Carmen. She's going to be doing some remarks.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Good morning, and thank you all for the opportunity to share the main actions regarding debt management during the second quarter of 2022. First, I would like to reaffirm that the main objective of the federal government is to maintain the public debt in a sustainable path as percentage of GDP, having a responsible, transparent, and efficient management of public debt. To accomplish it, we are continuously engaging in strategies to improve our maturity profile, reduce the refinancing risk, and seek cost-efficient transactions. In this regard, I will now summarize the main actions contained in the report. Regarding the domestic debt market, during the second quarter, the federal government continued with an intensive refinancing effort on the back of a big amortization due in June, and we concluded the following operations. On April 27th, the first operation of the second quarter was executed with a swap transaction of government securities that accounts for 87,000 million pesos. This operation improved the maturity profile for 2022. On May the 2nd, the Minister of Finance and Public Credit inaugurated the local sovereign ESG market by issuing the new federal government development bond aligned to the Sustainable Development Goals, named Bondes G. This instrument is denominated in pesos with the overnight funding rate as benchmark. This is important because we are moving to new fallback rates, as you know, from October last year, and this is in line with the announcements of the Central Bank of having the new TIIE Fondeo as a benchmark for not only for sovereign instruments, but also from market instruments. In this sense, we're advancing on our agenda for development on sustainable debt market. Bondes G are also a reference for future corporate and banking sector issuances. It consolidates our country's sustainable finance model. It aims to promote financial inclusion as well as to turn small investors into impact investors. In our else indicated, issuance of Bondes G was carried out at tenors of 2 years for an amount of 14,000 million pesos and 6 years for an amount of 5,000 million pesos. The respective surcharges were 23.20 and 14.19 basis points. On May 11, another such transaction was conducted for 147,000 million pesos. This operation was open to exchange bondes F for bondes D, and the purpose was to increase the volume of new bondes F to allow investors to update this investment portfolio. On May 19, a refinancing operation was carried out by repurchasing M bonos and UDI bonos with maturities between 22 and 25 for an amount of 49,000 million pesos and an issuance option of 52,000 million pesos with maturities between 2023 and 2047. On June 29th, a syndicated process was carried out of a new M bono benchmark with a 30-year tenor, maturing in July 2053, and a coupon of 8%. In this auction, 12.5 thousand million pesos were offered, and investors obtained a yield of 9.19%. As complement of this operation, and as you know, some changes were done to the process of switch tender offers for these new benchmarks. And another swap transaction was carried out, which increased this issuance in 2053 by 11.29 thousand million pesos, which added to the auction on the green shoe that brought the total amount of 28.16 thousand million pesos as an outstanding on the first week. And these refinancing operations were complete without incurring in additional debt and in compliance with the ceilings approved by Mexican Congress for fiscal year 2022. Regarding the foreign debt market for the second quarter, it has not been necessary to carry out bond issuance operations in the international financial markets. This is in line with our annual borrowing plan activities needs, and in commitment to maintain some public finances using foreign debt strategically as a complementary source of financing. And now I will give you some debt levels. In the second quarter of 2022, the PSDR stood at 45.7% of GDP. The domestic debt represented 31.1% of GDP and external debt 14.6% of GDP. With respect to the public sector's net debt, which includes the net debt of the federal government, the state-owned enterprises, and development banks, this figure was 45.8% of GDP, and at the end of second quarter of 2022. The domestic debt represented 30.9% of GDP, and external debt 14.9% of GDP. Lastly, the federal government's net debt was 36.8% of GDP, at the end of this quarter. The domestic component of this net debt represented around 29% of GDP and the external component 7.7% of GDP. Lastly, I will give some risk metrics. In second quarter of 2022, the federal government's debt portfolio preserved healthy risk indicators. The currency risk remains low, with 79% of the federal government's net debt being denominated in domestic currency, and 21% denominated in foreign currency. This is due to the effort of rebalancing the external portfolio to local debt market. Additionally, refinancing risk remains a low level since the average maturity of foreign market debt is 21 years, and the average maturity of domestic market debt is 7.6 years, on the back as well of all the efforts in the local markets for keep of having a healthy path on amortization profile. Lastly, interest rate risk is also limited, with 33.9% of domestic market debt held a long term and a fixed nominal and real rate, while 100% of the external market debt is at fixed rate. Thank you for your attention.